Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Everybody get settled down now. What I can't figure out is how they know when I'm getting ready to preach. That puzzles the fire out of me. They all look up and say, okay, he's starting, get him. They're jealous. I make more noise than they do, I reckon. Matthew chapter 5. Well, let's look and see what Jesus said. You know, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, doctrinally, is what we call the constitution of the kingdom. During the kingdom age, the millennial reign of Christ, this stuff here will be law, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it's practical Christianity for us in this age. Let me understand. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, I believe you got to live by every bit of this to go to heaven. Well, it's still talking about bringing sacrifices to the altar in the scriptures. You don't do that. So you got to understand it in its proper doctrinal context. The way you get messed up in the Bible is add a word to a verse that ain't there, take a word away from a verse that is there, or take a scripture out of context. You leave the King James Bible just like it is, in its context, and you won't get messed up. Your problem ain't figuring out the Bible. Your problem's believing the Bible. You just believe it. Just believe what you read. The Lord said in verse 41, I tell you, if you really want a while, and look at 40. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away your coat, give him your cloak also. How many people you know lives by that? Some of these healing preachers that think this is doctrine for our generation, when they get sued, they don't give them everything else too. They don't give them what they're getting sued for. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel with thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, there's good practical Christian doctrine. Somebody asks you to help you. If somebody said, help me move this pulpit over at the piano, you get it over at the piano and say, you need to go any further with it? That's what a Christian's supposed to do. Go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. My soul. That means you're supposed to let anybody borrow something and ask it. You better not let word get out that you'll do that. So you can see how you got to understand it doctrinally. I want to preach to you tonight, and we're going to talk about raising money for our school. And yes, you're right. We're going to have a money-raising service tonight. I'm doing this because I love our kids here at this church. I'm doing this because we're sticking our neck out for them. Our church is the first church in McDowell County history who's ever stepped out and done what we're getting ready to do. I'm talking about on a full scale, grade 1 to 12, with teachers, classroom, cafeteria, everything. Everything. This is the first time it's been done in this county. I'm not thrilled about that, to be honest with you. It's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility, but I'm excited about it because I know God is in it. And to do this tonight, we're going to have to really buckle down and, as a church, put our shoulders to this thing and do what we can do. I am a firm believer that if we do what we can do, God will do what we can't do. We've seen it over and over and over again. And I've been talking this week, and we run into some snags this week on plans and rules in Raleigh. Like, if you build a two-story building for a school nowadays, you know it is a law that it has to have an elevator. It is a law. Just became law just in the past few months. All kinds of crazy stuff like that just this week. And, of course, that knocked a two-story building in the head right like that. And I ran into a lot of things this week. To tell you the truth, two or three days ago, I thought, man, I'm kind of getting a little bit discouraged on getting this thing off the ground. And my wife, I talked to her about it, and my daughter, and they both said the same thing. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And I know why they're saying that. It's not because they got a lot of faith. It's because we have the reputation of it always being all right. Don't that just sum up our church? We get in a terrible mess, and then it always turns out all right. Now, you got to watch an attitude like that. Because if we just automatically sit back and say, it'll turn out all right, it ain't going to. It ain't going to. This might be the time it flops. Amen. Amen. We're not above it, you know. we don't do what we can do, you can't just sit back and say, oh, I've seen Brother Denny do this before. I remember when we thought it wasn't, the building wasn't going to get finished. Now it turned out all right. And the reason it did is because, brother, we put our shoulders underneath this thing. Sweat, nearly blood, literally. And tonight, we're going to have to do that with school. I'm convinced. Listen, if God gets in this crowd right here, big enough, this is a big enough crowd of people to do, I mean, my soul, we could tackle an army with what's here tonight if we're really together and right with God. I don't know how many horsepower is in here tonight. If we all got together and pushed, man, we could probably push one of these walls over. I mean, there's some strength in numbers and this many people. And I believe if we'll do as we can do tonight, that God will give us the desire of our heart and make this thing come to pass. What I'm going to do tonight is what I've been praying about. My mind, I've been racking my mind and brain for the last few weeks on how we're going to raise money to even start the building. We're talking about the most expensive project we've ever took off on. And don't know how much exactly yet, but way on up there. Well, I guess it is. It wouldn't be more expensive than this building, but it'd be close. Be close. And tonight we're going to talk about how that we can do what we can do, and God will do what God can do. I have people run up to me all the time and say, well, why don't you go to so-and-so? They're rich. Why don't you go at so-and-so? It never works out like that. We don't have people that don't go to church here pay our bills. You know who pays our bills? Just common, ordinary, everyday scum like me and you. Hard-working, everyday, middle-class, lower-class people who would just work hard and believe God. Just do what we can do. Just do what we can do. If God puts it on a rich person's heart, that'd be great. But He never does. And if He does, they don't listen. And that would be wonderful if that happened, but it ain't never happened yet. I believe that we'll just do what God wants us to do and be took care of. And when you start thinking about giving, the Lord said in the Bible, He didn't say it in the Bible, but they quoted Him in the book of Acts, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You believe that? You are scared to death to nod your head, say amen or anything, ain't you? You think He's trapping me. He's laying a trap for me. I'm not really. I'm preaching the Bible to you. Do you believe that? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Word of God, brother. You believe John 3:16? Amen. You believe you're saved by grace? Hallelujah. You believe it's better to give than receive? That's good up here, boy. Amen. Amen. It's better to give than to receive. You'll find that out at Christmas. If you're really right with God, you'll enjoy giving your family something really more than you do enjoy getting something. After a while, that kind of gets old. Just gimme, 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 gimme. You can get a bigger blessing out of just giving something than you do giving it. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible teaches the blessings of giving are real. Some people don't believe it. They don't believe it could possibly make you feel good to give something away. But you know why? Because our world trains you to be covetous. The world trains you to just get and get and get. The philosophy of the world, every time I go up, when I was at Michigan a few weeks ago, it's worse than it is here. All people think about is getting more, getting more, getting more, getting more, having this, having that, wanting this, wanting that, having more. And you know something? People who live like that never are really satisfied. It don't matter how much they get, they're still wanting more. You know what I found out? That if you can be happy with what you've got, and truly, the richest people in the world are those that are content with what they've got. Amen. I believe, I'm not just, you say, hey, yeah, I know, it's one of these preacher speeches. No, I believe that. I believe that tonight. I believe it. I tell you what, there was a time in my life when I wanted this, wanted that, wanted this, wanted that. I got past that a long time ago. I don't care now. As long as my family's took care of and I got a way to get around, really, it don't really matter anymore. I just want to see something happen for God. And I'm going to put my money where my mouth is in just a few minutes. I believe this, what I'm preaching tonight. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe I'm standing out there over the Red Sea, and we're going to stretch out our rod and walk across it on dry ground. Amen. I believe it. You going with me? Hope so, because if you don't, I'll drown. But I'm going. Amen. I'm going. Amen. By the grace of God, I'm going. The blessings of giving are real. That's what made John Wesley said, when I have any money, I get rid of it as quick as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. If you give, you will be surprised, number one, at the amount of money that you have left. You'll be surprised at the deepening of your spiritual life. One time we was up there in the old building, and I had a visiting preacher preach. I'll tell you who it was Lee Davis, if I remember correctly, on a Sunday morning service. And when he was preaching, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to give him a love offering. And I said, sure, Lord, I'll be glad to do that. I'll take him up an offering as soon as he gets through. And so he got through preaching, and I went down, and I do, you know, like you always do. I reached in my billfold, this on an early Sunday morning, and reached out, looked in there, and I said, yeah, I'll give him an offering. And all I had was a $20 bill. That's all. And I done just like you do when and you look in there. You know how you do. You go thumbing, looking for the ones. Oh, there's one. I'll give it. And I looked and seen that $20 bill, and the Lord said, give him an offering. And I said, I mean, this ain't my tithes or nothing, Lord. It's just, I can't give him that $20 and I started arguing with the Lord. I started arguing. You know how when God lays it on your heart to do something, you're sitting there, well, now it couldn't really be the Lord because that's the last $20 I've got. And I started this kind of thing, back and forth, back and forth. Has God ever really laid it on your heart to give something and you just push it out? No, no, that couldn't be. No, surely he don't want me to do that. Well, I've been praying all evening he wants you to do that. Amen. It won't hurt you. You can't outgive God, brother. You can't outgive God. You know what? I got that $20 bill out, and I said, Lord, now, I've got three starving young'uns, and I got to feed them after a while. And if I give this $20, I won't be able to feed them after a while, and it's wrong for me not to take care of my kids, so it'd be a sin for me to give this money. He said, now, you let me worry about that. Give them that $20. And I thought, I got to preach in a little while. So if I got to preach, I got to be right with God. If I don't give it, I won't feel right with God. And I ain't going to get up there and preach if I don't feel right with God. He had me over a barrel, man. That's one thing about preaching. It makes you stay right with God. Because, yeah, I mean, you're a fool to get up here if you ain't right with God. And I said, well, I sure want you to bless me in a little while when I preach. So I went ahead and give it. And you know what happened? You know what happened already, don't you? You say, Brother Danny, yep, sure, when service is over, somebody come out. When I shook hands with them, I felt something in my hand. And I do like you do. When somebody tries to give you something, I say, nah, you don't need to do that. Really inside, I was going, woohoo, glory to God, woo. But you know, I was just a hypocrite, I reckon. I said, oh, it's all right, you don't need to do that. And I stuck it in my pocket, and when it's over, I pulled it out, and there was my 20 back. You know something. You say, nah, preacher, that would have happened anyway. Nah, you ain't going to get me to believe that. Why wasn't it a 10? Why wasn't it a 5? Amen? It happened, brother. That happened, I'm telling you. That happened. Amen? Amen. You say it would happen anyway. You ain't going to get me to believe that. It don't never happen when I don't do something like that. You say, ah, it's a long time ago. Okay. Last night. I wasn't going to tell you this because I lose my reward in heaven, but I'm willing to lose this reward in heaven if it'll make you do what you ought to. Last night, I did the same thing. Last night, I did the same thing. There's a person in this church, and I don't tell people when I do this because I do it just because the Lord laid it on my heart last night to give them $20. Is that person in this room tonight? Raise your hand. There he is, right there. That fine young couple right over there bought their supper. Lord laid it on my heart, give them $20. And you know what? Something said, now, boy, $20, reckon they eat that much. You know, I gave them $20 last night at Shoney's in Morganton. And I said, that's what the Lord wants me to do. I'll do it. And I come in walking in the hall a while ago, and a girl walked up and gave me that $20 right there. I never even thought about that just a few minutes ago. Would the girl who gave me this $20 raise your hand, please? See her right back yonder. She said, here, me and my husband want to give you this free birthday and give me that. Isn't that a blessing? Happened again. That ain't 10 years ago up in the old building. That was today, man. Today. I believe the Lord just lets that happen. You say, well, nobody does that for me. When's the last time you gave $20? You crook. Hey, man, if you'd be more free. You say, well, I give somebody something. I never got it back. I heard somebody say, well, Brother Danny, I give and give and give, and I still had a flat tire on my car. Yeah, but think you might have had a wreck and got killed if you hadn't have. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God, brother. You just cannot outgive God. They say that John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest men of our generation, they said he went to work when he was little to support his mother. His mother could not afford to live. John D. Rockefeller went to work to support her. And brother, that man went to work, got him a job. His first day, week's pay was $1.50. He came and gave it to his mother. His mother put it on her lap. And she said, "Now, son," she said, "son, everything you make, I want you to give your part to God." She said, "Give God His part. Give the Lord His part and always honor God." And he honored God and gave his tithes, and then he became a millionaire. And he said when he's a millionaire, he said, "If I hadn't have done it on my first dollar and a half, I'd have never done it on my first million." He learned what it means to give. He learned what it means. See, you're not losing money by giving to the Lord. People look at it like, "My goodness, man, I can't afford it." You don't lose it. You don't lose it. Everything you give to God, you get it back in this world or the next world. You can't lose it, man. It's like putting it in a bank with about 400% interest. The Lord said, "Pressed down, shaken together, and given over, shall men give back into your bosom." Amen. No, preacher, I didn't even see you. You know, he's here a while ago. All right, now listen. Listen. I read about this fellow named Kenneth Keyes. Kenneth Keyes, for years, was the leading one of the leading businessmen in the state of Florida and all over the South. He was a he dealt in all kinds of real estate and work and things like that. And back in the 30s, during the days of the Depression, he believed that he should give God what God wanted of his work. And this is back in the 30s. God prospered him. That man made so much that his business started being blessed. He started giving more and more to the work of the Lord, to helping missionaries, to support churches, things like that. He organized 7 different corporations which sell and lease real estate. And then he decided his business should start tithing. And when I read this article, at that time, several years ago, his business was giving 56% of all of its profits to the Lord's work. 56%. And he's still making money. He himself was giving 30% of everything he made to God's work, and he's a millionaire. You say you can't never get nowhere giving like that. Brother, the more that old boy put out, the more God dumped in on him, the more he gave, the more God blessed. And you know what he said? He said, "I don't ever want to be," he said, "I want to be worth $1 million and no more." He said every time his net worth exceeds $1 million, he gives every bit of it away, brings it back down to $1 million, and keeps it at $1 million. You say, "Well, my soul, preacher, if I had $1 million in the bank, I'd give a lot too." I doubt if you would. I doubt it. "Yes, I would." Oh, no, man. If you won't give, you got a little bit. You sure ain't going to give, you got a lot. Matter of fact, the more you get, usually the stingier you get. Because you want more. It gets a hold of you. Messes you up. I believe some people's ministry that God gives them to do is making money and giving it to God's work. I believe God gives some people the talent and the ability to make money and send missionaries around the world to get people saved. I believe that. I believe God has given Christians the ability to work with their hands or to think with their head or whatever, inherited or whatever, and send the work of God on. I believe that with all my heart. The blessings of giving are sure. They're sure. You may get it back quick like I did my $20. But that's really the worst way to get it. The best way to get it is in heaven when you get there. I heard about the leader, the founder of Quaker Oats Company, done the same thing. Colgate Company, same thing. Procter & Gamble, same way. Delaney Company, Height and Infilatum, Rockefeller, all of these people, Welch's, all of these people started out saying, "We're going to give God what belongs to Him." Well, the blessings of giving are eternal. The Bible said, "He that giveth unto the poor, lendeth unto the Lord." If you give something to help somebody, you're lending money to God. What if the Lord came up to you and said, "Nah, don't borrow $100. You'd say, "Yes, Lord, I'll be glad to let you borrow $100. Because I know," you said, "I'd let the Lord, He'll pay me back." He said, "He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord." An elderly couple in 1959 gave 17,280 acres of land to a school work where they was going to put a college, a Baptist college. It was one of the largest donations ever given, 17,280 acres, and it was over $2 million worth of stuff there they put there, and there's a Baptist college there today. And every person that gets help or won to the Lord through all of that One of these days, that old couple in heaven's going to rack up them reward. Just like that. You can't outgive God. You just can't do it. Now, I want to tell you what we're going to do tonight, and I'm going to quit preaching right there. And what I want to do is do what I believe the Lord wants me to do. When we do more than what's expected, we're going the second mile. I got thinking about this, and I said, "Oh God, what do you want me to do?" And He said, "Well, you're the one that started this thing. I want you to step out there and do something." And I said, "Whatever you say." And then I kind of had it in my mind what I felt like God wanted me to do. But deep down in my heart, I thought of another thing God wanted me to do. And I was hoping it would be that first thing, because it wasn't as bad as that second thing. And it's like when I'd study these scriptures, He'd say, "Prax, what you preach, son? Can't outgive God, can you?" I say, "No. But Lord, that's a lot." I don't have a lot of money. And God said, "Well, you just do what I tell you to." Hadn't it been all right so far? And I said, "Yes, it has." So I think what we'll do tonight is we're going to see how much money we can raise here tonight, not actually raise here tonight, but in pledges, and see how big of a start we can get on our school. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You for these words from the Scripture. Lord, help us to know and believe that everything we give to You is not in vain, is not wasted. And Lord, if we could just see one life changed or saved from going into a life of sin, maybe in one of these public schools, God, it'd be worth every single penny. Oh God, Lord, just these young people that I've had come running up to me in the last week saying, I'm coming. Lord, they've already made it worth it to me. Oh God, speak to our hearts tonight. Bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me say...